You're listening to 1520 AM WCHE Westchester. Heard worldwide at WCHE1520.com.
What I believe is that demons are present in the world. The name that's often used for the head of the demons is Lucifer. Well, he's called the Prince of Liars. No problem to make him like you're asking for your Aunt Jean. What does it hurt for him to say he's your Aunt Jean? When you open yourself up to spirit, are you opening yourself up to demons?
I went and interviewed the animal control officer and found to my surprise that this county official possessed a manila file folder that he had labeled werewolf. Now that's news when you have a county official with a file folder marked werewolf.
That I have investigated since I was director of special projects at the CBS station in Denver about the worldwide animal mutilation deaths, and it was quite a paradigm shift for me then to sit and listen to sheriffs telling me that we weren't dealing with satanic cults, we weren't dealing with predators, we were dealing with something from outer space.
When I get a communication, it's just like this message, like a message will come into my mind, you know, and say, we here. They say, we, they never, I don't hear, they don't say, I'm here, and I've never heard that back. It's always, we here. And then I'll pick up my camera and go out and wherever they are and start filming.
The sheep rancher up in Lincoln County found that during a severe thunderstorm, he heard a muffled explosion that was different from the rest of the thunderclaps. The next day, he went out to check his fence and his sheep. He found the wreckage.
And at age four, I noticed an entity in my room. It's about 5 foot tall, pure white with large round eyes, and I just cannot figure out for life me what it is.
Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. I'm your host, Rob Simcox, here in beautiful downtown Westchester with you at the Paranormal Cafe. Beautiful, beautiful, almost summer's day, late spring. Very warm. I love it here. Oh, great time. I want to welcome everybody to the Paranormal Cafe. We have some people into the cafe today. I want to welcome, of course, everybody knows, who is this guy? Steve.
Hey, what's up, Rob? It's good to be here.
Of course.
At least you got my favorite music.
Oh, I just want, for the record, we never play your music. It just happens to follow you.
Well, you know, I set a precedent. Like that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very cool. And my favorite part of the music.
Oh, I love this part. You know, I taught him that.
Yeah. Somehow I start speaking in tongues when this happens, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know who created tongues, don't you?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, do I have to dump out of this?
I would suggest that.
Very cool. We also have in studio your lovely wife, Wendy.
Ah, Wendy, can you say hi, Wendy?
I'm going to turn off the omen. She's like, I'm just going to avoid this.
Yeah.
Hi, Wendy.
We didn't hear that, what?
How are you?
Oh, God.
What?
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we're all here in Westchester having some fun.
Oh, yeah.
I also have my my lovely dog, Bailey.
Yeah, it's all in the family.
Did she close the door to us? Oh, no. Okay.
No, she's here.
She's here, so yeah, very good. Oh, your music's bleeding through.
I know.
This sounds like, it's going from like horror music to like ominous, prancing around music.
Well, when you have followers like this, they do get a bit strange.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Come on, Steve, you know the words. Sing along.
See, I never sing along because then they would try to think that I'm not as powerful as I am.
Yeah.
It's better they chant to me rather than with me.
Okay, then I'll chant at you.
Oh, Rob, you're fired.
Sorry, Mr. Trump. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Very good. So, down here in downtown Westchester, very cool. If you want to give us a call, give us a call at 610-701-WCHE, 610-701-9243. We'll get you on the air here. Have some interesting announcements tonight. We have polar announcements, which is kind of weird.
What do you mean by polar announcements?
It's either feast or famine with me, you know. It's just one of those deals where...
where most of the time it's a famine.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to kind of let everybody know that, you know, I've been on, I have a Juno account and a Facebook account.
You have a Juno account and a Facebook?
I guess not. I don't know. And they, of course, they both got hacked. That's the story of my life.
You know what, Rob? You just been hacked all your life. Just admit it.
Yeah. So both of those accounts got hacked. The Facebook one is back, so that's fine. Everybody
can use
that.
What about the Juno account? Is that still hacked into?
It's still hacked into. It cost me money to get it back, which is ridiculous. But
free Juno accounts cost money to get back into?
Well, I guess it's customer service, so they got to take care of it. But that, I think the person that hacked into it needed to have the account more than I did at the moment to make them feel better. So
why? They were desperately clinging on to something they wish they could have?
I guess so.
That's the feeling I get.
I wouldn't say anything, so... You can still reach me at my Facebook account. Just go to Robert Simcox, look up, you'll see the Paranormal Cafe shield there. Friend me, be more than happy to do that. The thing that happens is they got into my Facebook account and eliminated a bunch of friends and everything like that. So if you've been friends with me and for some reason you find that you're not anymore, just refriend me. I'd be more than happy to do that. They went in and tried to dump like several hundred of my friends, which...
Yeah, you know. And if you hate me, but you want to friend me, go ahead, too. I am on Facebook.
You are on Facebook. Tell people how to get a hold of you on Facebook.
Well, actually, I don't even really know. Just, you know, friend Steven Pittner on Facebook. That's all I know. I don't...
And what's the picture of? It's a picture of your wife and your son, right?
Yeah, it's a picture of my wife and my son on there.
Okay, so that's cool. Oh, yeah.
I'm on the air, so I tend to not be seeing too much.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you want to do that, that's fine. We could, hook it up. I think we're also friends on Facebook, so I think Bailey wants to get in on the act here, so she's all up at the microphone. She's having some fun.
Oh, wait a minute. She's piddling in your lap. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I don't care.
She's very good. I love this dog. So. But very cool.
Yeah, this is Paranormal Cafe. Let's talk about paranormal here. We ain't talking about the dogs.
Well, the interesting thing is people, like, a lot of people have sent to me and talked to me and, you know, got in contact with me and say, hey, you know, what's up with the accounts and everything like that?
Yeah.
And you know what? The Paranormal Cafe has never been about a Juno account or an email account or been about the Facebook account. It's never been about that. I mean, those are accessories, but it's never been about that. It's always been about the show. And that's why it's not called, like, the Rob Simcox Show.
Because you want to tell me as egotistical as he is.
No. It's just the theory of the show is to talk about things. And the caller is just as important as, you know, any of the hosts or the guests or anything like that. It's a shared show. So, I mean, I could call it the Rob Simcox Show, but, you know, it's not about that. It's about the Paranormal Cafe and about the ideas.
Well, the title itself just explains what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We bring a lot of things to the table.
Yeah, it does. You do. You bring a lot of things to the table. I think it keeps it very interesting, and I have to admit, you've had some of the top guests anybody could get a hold of and be on. Over the years since you've been actually doing this. And that's the most amazing thing.
The other thing, too, is I like getting some obscure guests here and there. Not because they're obscure, but because I feel that they, you know, there's a spark.
They bring something more to it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the good thing is that we have a... getting back to this, it's not really a, it's not about the email accounts, it's not about the Facebook accounts. I mean, everything gets, you know, everything built up gets torn down by someone, you know, somebody somewhere, and that's fine. It's always been about the idea that people can come to a common place and talk about things that are out of the ordinary. And
well, not only that, and not be slammed for it, you know.
It's, exactly.
That's one thing I've always promoted about the Paranormal Cafe, too, is the fact that, you know, anybody that wants to tell their story, we're happy. We're more than happy to listen to it. You know, we really want to hear the stories.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And we're not going to judge you on the story. That's not our place here. Our place is to bring about a paranormal cafe that basically you can relax at. You can tell us your stories. You can tell us what happened to you and all that. We're not going to judge you.
Right.
You know?
It was interesting. So that's the case with that. I don't need to talk about a hacked account because that's not what the show's about.
Absolutely not.
Even though
it was hacked.
it's silly and it's
I
just
must
silliness.
Admit I did get it in easily. I mean, no, oh.
Oh my.
Yeah. No.
Did you actually say that on open air?
No, I did not.
You got it in easily. Just point that.
Yeah.
Out.
Excuse me. Oh, did I miss something?
Oh, hey, whoosh, now.
Over the head.
So very good, very good. If you want to give us a call, 610-701-9243, 610-701-WCHE. We'll get you on the air straight here at the Paranormal Cafe. It's very cool. We're broadcasting here in downtown Westchester. And we have other announcements that are going to be made throughout the show. At the top of the hour, at the 8 o'clock hour, I have Bob Gardner, your favorite guy from MUFON.
Yeah.
He's going to be calling in and talking to us about updates. About that in the paranormal.
Okay. About MUFON.
Cool. All that kind of stuff. So, very cool. And we also have some other announcements, cool announcements to make, but I don't know if I want to make a bunch of, you know, there's certain things I can't talk about because the deals aren't done.
Right.
And you know about some of them, but we can't talk about them.
Oh, can I talk about this? I'll talk about it.
No, hold on a second.
I'm more than happy.
There we go. That just took care of that.
Hey.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's go to the lines. You're up on the Paranormal Cafe.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, it's my friend Pat.
Oh, is this Pat? This hey, Pat. Pat. How you doing?
It's Pat. I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Oh, doing awesome.
This is Steve in the studio. Steve, say hi to Pat.
I think I just did. How you doing, Pat?
Thanks, Steve.
Pat's calling in. He's actually part of this perfect timing, part of the announcements. I've always wanted to say this, and Pat knows I'm going to say here because he laughed when I first said this.
Oh, this is not fair. Pat's in on it?
Well, sort of. Well, he should be in on it. I've actually gone and have been able... Okay, I say like I did it, okay, but it's not really that way. It's the other way. So when I say I did it, it's the other way. I went and secured an agent. Which is kind of cool.
What's an agent? Ah.
the truth is, Pat actually secured me. Pat was like, okay, you know, Pat's used to dealing with me on my tantrums and everything like that, so he can handle all that kind of stuff. But yeah. So
wait a minute. What's that, Pat? You can handle his tantrums?
Oh, it comes with any artist, Steve. You know.
Yeah, but Pat, he's not really an artist.
Shh, I'm trying to convince everybody. Will you stop? Now, Pat did the first ever Mississippi UFO conference.
Oh, he did the first one?
Yeah, he was the one that did the first one. And get this, man. I have the DVDs at home. He sent me DVDs.
Yeah.
This was a home run. And I'm saying this without Pat even knowing I was going to say this. He got John Burroughs and Jim Peniston.
Okay? Oh,
wow. He got Tom Carey, the guy, the quintessential guy to talk to about Roswell.
Right.
And Linda Moulton Howe, the person you insulted on the air.
I did not insult her. I was tired. In my defense, Pat, I was a very tired person that day, working many long hours, no sleep, and I was in the zone. And unfortunately, Rob would not allow me to correct myself or apologize.
That's not true. That's not true. He, I got in Steve's defense. I think he came off a double.
Yeah, like a double shift. I had worked all night. I pulled two shifts through the night, and then we came in to do the show. And believe me, I was out there. It took everything I had to just hold on to sanity and any awareness whatsoever.
But
I hope Linda doesn't have a long memory.
No.
Either that or I hope she's extremely forgiving.
Steve made the phone receiver and Linda's end go from like 16 ounces to about 12 pounds. It's funny when you listen to it, but I think I turned white as a ghost and Steve even said that because he said something inadvertently. It was sort of I know what he meant to say. He was She was talking about different things.
I know. This is the worst comment you could ever make.
And he meant, I know what he meant to say, and I think everybody's going to know what he meant to say, but he said, I like you because you're like a real reporter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So what I had meant to say, of course, was, I like
Wait a minute,
you.
That must have been the voodoo doll she had down here. She called it Steve.
Oh, I feel better now.
I imagine, yeah, that's right. That weekend you were walking funny. Huh?
Yeah, I was walking very funny.
Very cool. So Steve goes to correct it, and because as soon as it came out, Steve realized this is wrong. She became mortified, and I had to go to a station ID because we were up against it.
Well, here goes the way it went down. I made the bad statement. I got ready to correct it. She comes back with, what do you mean a real reporter? I am a real reporter.
I won an Emmy.
And I was like, no, let me explain it. And just then Rob goes, oh, no, sorry, Steve, give me just a minute. We got to go to break. I was like, no. That was the end of that.
So we went to break, and all during the break, the phone microphones are off. I'm yelling at Steve, what are you saying? And he's like, I said the wrong thing. I'm like, no kidding.
So, you've been a mainstream reporter, I guess.
Yes. Well, that's what I was trying to say. She actually is, you know, the same thing as a mainstream reporter, but she's not afraid to report things that other media would never touch.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to say, and unfortunately, I was in la-la land and never came out the right way.
Yeah. So Pat puts this together, and he puts this together. It's a bang-up job. I mean, a brand-new state-of-the-art facility down there in Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
And fills the place up, and he gets a bonus by a gentleman who worked with Jim and John, who just happened to be in Mississippi. Well, he lives down there, and he happened to just come in because he wanted to see the guys. So he comes in as like a partial witness to part of the stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be Doc Rhodes. He just showed up and at the hotel where they were staying. He had heard, and John and Jim brought him up, and right before they went on, they said, hey, we just met Doc. We're going to put him on stage. And I'm like, well, who in the hell's Doc, you know? And he said, well, he was there at Rendlesham with us. He lives here in Mississippi. So.
Oh, my God.
Doc was real cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's
did you see the DVD? Did you see Doc?
I did see Doc. He was real cool. He just comes up with like a blue and white polo shirt. And he's just like, yeah, I saw this. I was just down there. I saw that. And they're like, okay, so what happened when they all came down in the trucks? I opened the gate and let him out. I wasn't going out there with him.
Smart guy.
Hell no.
You know, it's funny. Doc has become somewhat of a celebrity now. He just came out of a little town about an hour from here, and now he's making all these appearances around town, people that have little groups, you know, that they talk about different things and whatever, every Monday night or something, and so Doc's been kind of making a little circuit down around town.
All right.
We got to schedule him for the Paranormal Cafe then.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd like to, like, sew in all the interviews together, because I love having the guys on, of course.
So true. So you're talking about the state-of-the-art studio in Jackson,
well,
Mississippi.
It's a conference center.
Wow.
Beautiful. I've seen pictures of it. They sent me pictures of it.
It's actually run by the same company that runs that Pennsylvania Convention Center.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Very cool. And apparently, Franco, his son, is the CEO.
yeah? Franco?
Yeah. Franco's
hey, Franco turned 12 last week. So.
Oh, he's... Now he can go hunting the babes. That's what...
12 years old, he's there.
It's time. Yeah, so he did the first Mississippi UFO conference, and that was really cool. And he stopped up here beforehand because there was a nurses' convention in town. His wife's a nurse.
Oh, okay.
So he stopped by. He stopped by at PAZ.
At PAZ, okay. I haven't seen that studio.
Well, you aren't, because apparently I'm not on there anymore. So.
You're not?
No.
What happened with that?
That's what I was said. I don't think they expected what I was doing. With all due respect to the guys, but I just all of a sudden I wasn't on the schedule no more, and I'm like, okay. What happened was I had been doing a couple of live broadcasts out of there. I told you to get in there early, man, because I didn't know how long that was going to last.
Yeah, I know.
So what happens is I did the interviews. I brought in Peniston. I brought in Burroughs and everything, and I brought in other genres, too, right?
Right.
And I don't think they were really into it. I think they kind of got, like, I think they wanted, like, the GM of the place wanted me to interview the guys from Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures.
Like, yeah, like, get people like Taps and Ghost Hunters and all that.
That's what he suggested that to me. I was like, I've talked about that on the show before, and if anybody's heard me talk about that kind of stuff,
I know.
I'm not too kind to it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, because, let's face it, we've done investigations in the past.
Hold on a sec. Adjust your mic. Go ahead. Go ahead. Adjust your mic, because it was...
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, we've done... Can you hear me now?
You're better. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, well, we've done investigations in the past, as you know. I mean, and unfortunately, I mean, I would love for it to happen. I've never seen where we could go to every freaking site and something major happen.
I'm glad you used the F word as freaking.
Yeah.
Not anywhere else.
Wow, your finger was almost on
almost,
that.
Almost.
Yeah, see, Pat, that's one good thing about Rob. He's already prepared for me.
So, apparently they've had some success with some women that do, the woman that does readings up there. And I don't know her personally.
Right.
I've never heard her show because we're usually broadcasting at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's all good and well and good. But then they wanted to get more of that in there. So I was like, okay. And like, we'll play you after midnight. We'll record your show. Well, I guess that got canceled because I saw the next schedule came out. Boof.
That was gone as well?
Gone. And I don't know what happened. I mean, I guess we didn't get as much results as they wanted. And I said to them, look, I'm broadcasting out of CHE as well. That's half my audience. You know, people used to go into CHE. I'm promoting you.
Right, right. That's true, yeah. I mean, you have to give it time when you first start out because nobody's heard of it.
Right.
And area, you know.
And we've gotten some responses from Pottstown, which was really nice. But
wow, that's cool.
So, you know, it is what it is. But we got other things going on. Pat's been working on stuff. And that's to put it mildly.
Well, yeah. That's to put it mildly because from what you've told me a little bit already, Pat has been like... Let me put it this way. In the Phillies ball game, Pat has been doing nothing but grand slams at this point.
Well, Pat will be the first guy to be like, I like it when Pat talks to me. It's like, okay, Rob, I'm going to do a Pat imitation here now. Okay? I'm going to try doing best Pat imitation. Rob, what we're going to need you to do is, well, this deal is not done yet, so we're working on it.
Yeah, anytime, Pat, you want to strangle him for this, please do so.
Oh, he will. But it's funny because Pat will be like, look, this deal is not done yet. We cannot talk about this yet, but this is what's on the burner.
That's cool.
Yeah, very good. But so, like, he's got like four or five deals going on already. I can't talk about him because they're, you know, not signed in yet or anything. I don't know. Is there anything we can talk about, Pat?
Well, once you throw the topic name out there and as your attorney and agent, I'll tell you yay or nay.
101.
101.7 FM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
WLEZ.
I guess we can do it.
Okay.
I like that I can consult with my agent, you know.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome?
Isn't this weird?
Yes.
When you get off the phone, I'm going to have to send him like a $100,000 check. You know what I mean? But he secured in Jackson, Mississippi, which if you looked at anything online about Jackson, Mississippi, it's a beautiful town.
Yeah.
WLEZ, and I'm saying it like I did it, but Pat put it together. And it ties into a lot of things we're doing locally, which is strange. I'll let Pat explain that. So.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, do you mean Blobfest?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think I even knew it until, what was it, last week sometime, Rob?
Mm-hmm.
Rob has a tendency to call me during dinner or when I'm at some kind of party or function.
He can smell food, Pat, miles upon miles away.
Every time I call Pat, I hear Buster Poindexter in the back. It's hot, hot, hot. Dun, 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 dun.
We got a gentleman down here. He's actually the owner of WLEZ, and he owns a number of old movies.
Okay.
And let's just say that he's got an interest in The Blob, the movie.
Wow.
And The Blob has an interest in a certain theater in the vicinity there.
Mm-hmm.
And
theater.
We're trying to work something out now where we can put it all together.
That would be awesome.
Steve was at Blobfest last year, and he was... I'll let you explain, because I explain it all the time. People are like, yeah. I'm tired of hearing about the Blob... Not tired of hearing about it from me, because I'm so,
yeah, so
hyped on it.
Yeah, because you're always hyped on it. Yeah, well, for me, what it was is I actually did attend the Blobfest, which was a lot of fun. A lot of activities going on, you know, while you're there. I mean, you know, for, like, everything from food and all that. Matter of fact, we missed out on the ice cream, if I remember correctly. I was not happy about that.
Yeah. Steve goes and yaks his head off somewhere. And we get there 30 seconds after everybody's been given ice cream.
Yeah.
And
no, Rob was holding me up. Don't even play that, Rob.
No.
Yeah. But anyhow, just long story short, no, Blobfest was awesome. Unfortunately, I did have to leave early.
Explain Blobfest, though. Try to do that in 10 words or less.
What is... Oh, give me a break. I can't do anything in 10 words or less.
Go ahead. Explain that.
Yeah. No, but Blobfest, basically it is going back into the original theater where Blobfest was originally played, and the theater that was actually used in the movie for the Blob, the movie. And then they do, everybody comes in outfits and basically all kinds of... get-ups from that time period. People dressed. What would the time frame be on that, Rob? Like the 1950s?
It's the 60s.
60s, okay. 1960s outfits. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the girls coming in with the poodle skirts, the guy greased hair back and all that. And then they actually do a remake of the running out of the theater from the Blob. Okay? And you might think it's kind of crazy, but actually, happening, it would be a lot of fun. Unfortunately for me, I was already gone by that time, so I didn't get to experience that.
Yeah, Steve said something called work or something he had to go to. I don't know what that's all about.
Rob doesn't understand that.
Well, I hope it's, you know, from an attorney's perspective, I hope it's nothing like an Irish soccer game when people are running out of there.
It's total mayhem. Well, no, not.
It's total chaos.
Exactly. Well, an Irish soccer game's probably safer because you don't have the Blob chasing you.
And then along those lines, too, it was just really interesting. A lot of people are coming through with, you know, actually 1960s cars driving in.
Oh, yeah, Herbie. We saw Herbie the Love Bug.
Herbie the Love Bug came in, you know, and, like, just that downtown area is... It kind of predates to, like, 1940s, 50s, you know, that time period. That's the way it looks. And it's very nicely done up. It's really a nice setting. You know, I had a lot of fun, but unfortunately, out the door I had to go. And to say the least, the ride back was murder.
Yeah, you stranded me in Phoenixville, by the way. Let's talk about that for a second.
Did I?
You stranded me in Phoenixville.
It was intentional?
You were my ride.
Well... You could have left when I did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry, we broadcasted a half an hour. I got to go.
Well, hey, you know, my boss wasn't hearing of me taking off.
Exactly. But you said this year you're going to try to attend the whole night.
Yeah, this year I will definitely make sure that I will not be working, no matter what. I don't care what they say, so.
Yeah.
Now, Rob, do you make an appearance as the Blob every year, or what?
I am Rob the Blob.
Well, he does fit the profile.
Hey.
What?
Easy with
what?
That. Steve does not pass up a chance to take a crack at my head, so size of my head.
Well, look at the size of it. Why would I?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
Now, Beans, we have my agent. On the line.
Oh, God, here we go. See, look, I got to step out of the room now because the head's getting bigger.
Yeah, it's like a Macy's Day balloon in here, baby. He's been working on a lot of stuff. Like some of the stuff he doesn't, you know.
Right, he can't really talk about. But at the same time, I mean, you know, to me, Pat, I want to say thank you for helping Rob as well, because Rob has really worked at this, I know for a fact. How hard and how much of a passion this has been for him. So I'm glad you guys met up, and you know, I think you're definitely a great asset to him at this point.
Wow.
Well, thank you. And he doesn't even know about the latest.
Oh,
I'm going to tell him to tempt his curiosity. Is, let's just say, the Truth March. That's all we're going to say right now.
Wow, Rob's drooling right now. Calm down, Rob.
We'll talk about that off the air.
All right.
See, this is what you guys do to me, you know? Hey, let's go to a break real quick.
The rainy weather's here, and you're...
Okay, we went back from the break.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Oh, see, this is what Pat does. It, like, life is, like, around here. I'm just like...
Is that a tear in your eye?
It is. That's not the only part of me that's wet. So, you know. No, Pat's got a great family. He's got a beautiful wife, Lisa. I haven't met his other son. I've only met the CEO, Franco.
Franco, the 12-year-old.
Don't say that. He will jack you.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. He will jack. He's of age to drink, okay?
Okay. I shall back off now.
I'm just waiting for the day. I mean, it's coming soon, and it could be like today, where he just goes, Rob, you're fired. And back down the creek I'll go.
Yeah. Well, if that happens, Pat, make sure we definitely get signed autographs from your son doing the firing so I can definitely hand those out.
I was like, you know, he came to the studio and everything. And I was like, yeah, Franco, if you want to help out, then, you know, I'll show you what buttons to hit and everything like that. Yeah. He just gave me a look like, I don't do manual labor. What are you, stupid?
Yeah.
He's a very good kid. He's a very good kid.
That's cool.
Yeah, he just turned 12.
Happy birthday, Franco.
Yeah.
I'll pass it on. I don't know that he's listening right now, although he could be at his little NORAD control center with his computer.
It's amazing what kids can do nowadays. And
it's amazing.
Oh, man. I'm really...
scary.
It is scary. It is scary. I'm really...
I was mesmerized when the fax machine came out. Fax, you know, aimlessly fax stuff out.
Same here. I was mesmerized when the automatic typewriter came out. You type it in and it types it out for you all at once. Wow.
I was there when Steve learned about email. I was actually in the room. Because remember I explained it to you?
Yes.
And you're like, so how much does it cost to send email? I'm like, it doesn't cost you anything. What? He's like, can I send an email? I'm like, first you got to get an email address. Ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, how do I get an email address? How much does that cost?
Yeah. Then like 5 minutes later, did I get anything yet? I'm like, Steve, you didn't give anybody your email address yet. But talking to old timers, it's funny you say that we were talking about this.
Yeah.
Because I was asking an older woman.
Okay.
What she thought the best invention was. Now, this is a woman that had like 7-8 kids.
Wow.
She said the washing machine.
Disposable diaper is what I mean.
Yes.
I agree with Pat on that one. Because I remember my son when I was changing him, and I was like, man, I am glad I don't have cloth diapers.
Very cool. Oh, man. So... What's the, now you got me, see, Pat does this. He drops like a little thing, and I'm like,
let me put it this way, Pat. This is like showing him a piece of candy you have and half unwrapped, but tell him he can't touch until he's finished his dinner.
Oh, he calls me up. He's like, you got to come down here to Jackson, Mississippi. It's a beautiful place. You're never going to want to go home. I'm like, wow, you know? See, the imitation of Pat is like, you can't do a Dr. Phil, because Dr. Phil, I think, is a phony, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, that horse left the crowd. And you can't do that. That's an insult. You got to be like, hey, you know, either you won the lottery or I'm suing you. But Pat's got connections everywhere. Guess what he says to me?
What?
Hey, I got my friend Jeffrey Lore. You may have heard him. He owns a football team called the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm like, what?
You never heard of Jeff Lore? Yeah. Well, me and him talk, and he's mentioned this stuff like all the time. We brought a preseason game down here in Jackson, Mississippi, and did you hear about that? I'm like, yeah, I heard about it. It's our home team.
I think we had. Lurie's team down here the first year he was owner, if I remember.
Yeah.
95?
Mm-hmm.
They beat up on the Jets down here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he brings them down. Like, first time, then. You can't get stuff like that done easily. That's not an easy thing to get done.
You cannot.
That's the NFL, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, have you heard of Jeffrey Lore? I'm like, heard of him? What the hell are you talking about? Damn right I've heard of him. Now, he got Jeff Lore at the time. Now, when Jeff Lore first took over from Norman Brayman.
Yes.
Norman Brayman was hated in this town, okay?
Okay.
They would have lit him on fire if they could, you know. Jeff Lurie came into town, and everybody loved him instantly. Bam, running down the street. Yeah. He could have done the Rocky run all the way down the street. Up
everybody
to
was saluting him, yeah.
Oh, they're all shaking his hands. And thank God somebody got the team that isn't an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously Jeff Lurie is, you know, is a smart guy, and he, the city still loves him.
Right.
You know, he's you know, even though the team doesn't do as well as they want them to, which no team would do good in this town as good as they want them to do.
So true.
But, so, yeah, he's mentioned, I'm like, yeah, I know that, yeah, Philadelphia Eagles, yeah, I know about that. He's like, I'm gonna be seeing him, and I'm like, okay, great. This is good. And I said, and it was weird because I've always visioned, like, saying, okay, you know what, yeah, you're going to be my, I've always envisioned some nameless, featureless, gray figure. Okay, you're going to be my agent. That sounds good. It didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
It turned into, please, 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 please be my agent. Please, 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 please. Please, 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 please.
So how many times did you have to ask you that before you finally said, all right, leave me alone?
Well, he got the restraining order off, and then he decided maybe it would be a good idea.
I don't know, Pat. You ought to keep the restraining order just in case.
So that took all that to get off.
Oh, man.
But it's funny because I talked to him and his wife, and they're like, you got to come down here to Jackson, Mississippi. It's beautiful down here. You'll love it. I'm like, yeah, if I go down there, I may never come back.
Right.
Because I come up here, I'm like a hoagie. I steal things from people. They hate me up here. It's like, you do that paranormal cafe, you talk about that weird stuff, don't you? I'm like, damn, you know, people threaten my life up here.
Well, we are the North.
I think your first broadcast down here, you need to, Edward wants you to do a seance on the air.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That's the thing about Edward. He's into this.
Get out.
No, he is into this.
Wow, Pat, that would be awesome. I think that's a great idea.
You know, I did it. Years ago, I did a hypnotization on the air.
Oh, okay.
Remember, you know Pete, right?
Yeah, Pete.
Friend of the show, Pete.
Uh-huh.
He came on and did a hypnotizing thing, and it went over like a gangbusters on the downloads.
Cool.
So, you know what else I wanted to do?
What's that?
I'd like to do a lie detector on the air, but a lot of the lie detector guys, you know, they're hard to schedule or, you know, cost money. And I ain't got any sponsor right now. So.
Yeah. Hey, I know how to get away with the lies on that. On a lie detector test.
Well, then, once we get one, I want to see if you can pass it.
Okay, cool.
You big liar.
Well, see, Edward's already got the first target for that seance. You know who it's going to be? I'm going to hit you with some history. You probably don't even know this right up under your nose.
No, go ahead.
John C. Pemberton. You know that name?
Pemberton sounds familiar. I don't know John's. Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
He is interred over, what is the Laurel Hill Cemetery, right there on the Schuylkill River.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the cemetery?
Yes.
John C. Pemberton was from Philadelphia, and he joined up with the Southern cause in the Civil War. He would go on to command the Siege of Vicksburg. So Edward and I were talking and said, hey, this is a great way to kind of bring both Philadelphia and Jackson into the same broadcast.
Wow. That is awesome. That's a good idea, too.
So if we can get John to cooperate and come into the seance.
That would be awesome. Oh, I know it'll happen.
What's that?
Everybody's going to love everybody down there, but they're going to look at me as like, I set Atlanta on fire.
Wait a minute. Pat, where is his grave site at?
Laurel Hill Cemetery.
Up this way?
In Schuylkill? Ralph
Schuylkill?
Yeah, Schuylkill?
Along the Schuylkill River. And it's huge. It's famous cemetery.
Oh, Steve. Wow.
The what? Schuylkill does not run past Jackson, Mississippi, so where the hell do you think it's going to be? It's got to be up here.
Of course I know the Schuylkill's up here, Rob. My God, I'm slow.
Hey,
I'm not that slow.
If you go on a Pottstown going into Philadelphia, it's, I can't remember the...
I have gone out of Pottstown.
It's on a rail. It's on the south across the river right as you're about to get into Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. All right. No, because what I was going to suggest is me and Rob are going to have to take like once a week and go over to the gravesite and start begging for him to show up.
That sounds like a lot of fun, man. Oh, man. Yeah, it's really cool. So,
yeah, no, that's awesome, man.
I like the idea of the seance.
Wow. I mean, that's great that he actually wants a seance to be done.
He's hip.
Oh, yeah. He sounds like him, and that's awesome. That's what I've been saying you've needed all along. People that are really, you know, really backing in into this.
Now, you know, of course, Steve may not know, Edward is a short filmmaker, and he's won a lot of awards from New Orleans up north, you know, through here up into Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
I think Nashville and different film festivals that we have down this way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
And did you look up on the internet his Orbis Romanus?
As a matter of fact, I was going to do that as we were speaking. I was just thinking to myself, I did not check that out. But let's see.
Orbis Romanus. Now, this is the one, remember, where he does an a la Bill Shatner, kind of the shirt gets torn thing.
Is it Orbis Romanus Prejevodi or something like that?
Orbis, O-R-B-U-S, I believe. Romanus, Roman, U-S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a short film by Edward St. Poe.
That's B-U-S, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know why it came up that way. I'm looking at Google, and you know how it tries to spell for you?
Yes.
Orbis. Yes.
You find it?
Almost.
Yeah, he's slow. He's the one fingered, you know, person there.
Hey. I put in Orbis St. Pay, so I just want to say.
There are probably some pretty good quotes from that movie you could use as a lead into the show every now and then, coming back from a break.
Don't tempt me. I will. That's something I've always thought about. So
he won the, I believe it was this year, he won the New Orleans Film Festival. So
he has St. Pay Studios. .com?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's cool. Wow. Of course, we got weird stuff at this studio. Everything gets redirected. We can't get to anything here. It's
haunted.
Yeah. O-R-B-I-S. I think it's coming up, but I may be wrong. St. Payne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might work.
St. Payne Studios. Oh, my God. This is so weird. You see what I'm doing here, right, Steve?
Yeah, I see that you just can't hit the keys, right?
No, I'm
saving your life.
The studio has, like, stuff where you put in an address, you're checking something out, and it automatically redirects you to somewhere else. Like,
I know.
Yeah, so I wanted to go and look at the travel rates.
Not a sponsored site.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's try this one.
Yeah, check that out and see if that...
Now apparently we're under some kind of internet attack. I don't know what's going on here. Oh, this is crazy. It's so frustrating. But yeah. So Edward puts together a movie every year.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of cool, you know. It's I'm just going to go straight to it.
Yeah, well, this is something that would be interesting. Then. I mean, you know, the fact that he's doing all these movies every year, and actually he's being recognized for it as well. All my movies generally make it into the trash.
Well, he was saying that he's almost like he's a William Shatner kind of actor, you know.
I like William Shatner.
You know,
I just can't do it.
I can't do it, Captain. Oh, this is crazy. Now the whole thing's gone nuts.
Now the film he did this past year, I think it was something about World War II. Anyway, he always tends to hire some overseas actress to come in to do it with him. And
he said do it with him, Steve.
What are you trying to say, Rob?
just want to specify what he's saying there.
Don't try to lead me down the wrong path.
I'm trying not to.
You lie.
Yeah. He does all... This is crazy.
Now, you said he was doing it about, was it World War II?
World War II.
Yeah, and who's the actress that he brings in?
Say again?
Who's the actress that he brings in?
I can't remember the name. This was a French actress he brought in for the last one.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they're relatively low budget, you know. They're not made for the big screen. They're like 30-minute long kind of pieces, but...
Right.
But they're actually very good.
Yeah.
very cool.
Well, sometimes I love to, you know, have the condensed version of the World War II.
Yeah. You know? Steve, people that lived through World War II would like to have had the condensed version too. You know, all that marching through France stuff was just such a pain in the neck.
Passport stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I didn't think it was that
all the
bad.
Dentistry and everything.
Oh man.
But yeah, France is not that big. I wouldn't think it would be that bad.
No, no. Maginot Line was just simply, I don't know. It was just simply like a brick wall. That's all it was. It wasn't that big.
Yeah.
I can't even, I have horrible luck at the studio. Every time something breaks, they say to me, Rob, did you touch that? I broke the internet.
Well, that goes without saying. You break everything anyhow.
You're supposed to support me here and say, no, there's something wrong with it, Rob. No.
You want me to pat you on the back and make you feel better?
I'm going to kink you out of this, dude.
Rob, you haven't complained about the phone system lately.
Well, the phone system seems to be good.
The monkey's doing it very well.
But I have this internet thing where I cannot go to a site without having it being redirected. There's something in there, like spyware or something. And I didn't put it in there. That's what I was going to record. I'm only here once a week. Okay?
Maybe that's the problem.
This is crazy. Yeah, you see what I'm doing here, right?
Yeah, I can see now. Yeah, it's really acting up. It is actually really acting up bad.
Oh, man. It's not... I'm not breaking anything, but...
What was that?
I broke the internet. I really did. I don't know how I did it, so... But it's cool, so yeah, he's working on all kinds of stuff, and things are going really good. Hey, we got a call on line one. Hold on. I don't even know who this is. Well, let's see what it is.
Okay.
If I actually hang up on somebody... Welcome to the Paranormal Cafe. Somebody just called, and they just hung up. So if you called the internet... Called the internet. If you called the Paranormal Cafe...
Wow, we're
a fine caller.
Must have been. Somebody just called and hung up. If you call back, I'll put you right on.
Rob, you might have a debt collector call you now that they know where you are.
True.
Yeah, that guy. I forgot to tell you about that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember one time I lived in an apartment, and I had a debt collector call me. But it wasn't for me. It was for the person who had the phone before me. And they swore that I was this other person.
Yeah.
So much so that they tracked down where I worked. I'm like, why are you calling me at work? And it's not even my debt. Oh, we know that you're that person. And you're using an alias or something like that. I'm like, you are a stone crazy.
Yeah, I know.
It was some kind of debt, and that lasted about 6 months. And then I changed jobs. I had gone to a better job. And, of course, the old job gives them my new job to where I went to.
You're kidding.
I'm like, what are you doing, you know? So, but, yeah, it was kind of weird, but I don't know. So, yeah, Pat's doing all kinds of stuff down there.
Well, it's awesome, dude. I know you've worked hard at this, and I'm glad. You met him.
He heard about John and Jim through the show, and also all the guests he had, Tom and Linda. He heard about them through this show.
Oh, well, they were talking to Pat about the show.
Well, he heard the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And then he was like, you know, let's put it together and have it down here. And, you know, and then, you know, and... And your host, I don't remember the name of your host off the top of my head.
Darren Dito.
Okay.
Darren has an interesting past because he's a mainstream reporter, was the anchor man in Jackson, Mississippi, and he's since moved on, but he's done a lot of other stuff too.
Linda Moulton Howe?
Sort of.
Darren is from Seattle originally. He's been on the... one of the network affiliates there, and then he's been in Oklahoma City, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he was at KBIM, a CBS affiliate, I believe it is, in Roswell, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He was the anchor, and he left there and came here about 6 months ago. And it turns out he's got a great interest in all the things the Paranormal Cafe talks about.
That's great.
Hey, in fact, talking about the ghost hunters, he's done quite a bit of that down here in some old plantation homes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I never thought, of course, ufology, I love that. Never thought much about the ghost phenomenon until I was having lunch with him recently, and he just started talking about some experiences he's had
at some of these homes, and by the time the lunch was over, I was a believer.
That's good.
Steve, we did a show years ago on reverse speech.
Yeah,
and
I do remember it.
It's funny that because you said you had no belief in that beforehand. I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, well, what had happened? Yeah, Rob had told me about it, and I was like, okay, that sounds really stupid. You know, I don't believe that one for a second. And he invited me in. He says, well, you know, we're going to do the show. He says, if you want, I'm going to play it, you know, over the air and all that. You can actually listen to it and you know, make your own decision. I was like, okay. And, of course, me being the nice person that I am, I was like, yeah, right, this is stupid. So I listened to it, and actually I was amazed because a lot of the stuff that I listened to, when you played it backwards, it was amazing what you actually heard. In some instances, there was some speech that I was like, well, you know, you could kind of say maybe that's what they're saying. But there were actually a lot of tracks that were played forward, and then when they were played backwards, you didn't even have to give an explanation as to what you were hearing. You could tell exactly what they were saying. And it was amazing. I was amazed.
And it's
by
like
it.
Tied into exactly what they're talking about. It's not like an obscure thing like...
Right, right. It relates to like the statements that are being made in reverse speech were what you would know or what you would believe somebody would be actually thinking but saying the opposite. And they were actually referring to what they were talking about. Which, you know, and what's the guy, his name again, that was on it?
Edward John Oates.
Yeah, Edward John Oates. Yeah, because the thing was is that the way he showed it and all that is like the way that people talked, and then what you would think that they were actually thinking actually was being said when it was played backwards. So, I mean, it blew me away. I mean, it made more of a believer out of me about reverse speech than I realized.
Wow.
Yeah, it really, and I'm a very skeptical person.
Remember Randy, he was our producer at the time?
Yes.
Worked for the station?
I remember, yeah.
He wasn't into it at all. He wasn't into the, I mean, he liked the show because, you know, we talked about weird stuff.
Right.
But, like, he said, because I didn't believe in nothing that you broadcast. He's a real skeptical guy and everything.
Right.
But he got into that, too, and he's like, that's the best show I've ever heard. Well, of course, it's the best show to him.
Right.
Other people might find something else more, you know, interesting, which is good.
Yeah. Well, it was just the fact that right there, the proof was like in the pudding, so to speak. It was right there in front of me. I was listening to it, and, you know, and I could see it.
Right, right. So that's the idea of the show. That's the idea of the show. So
yeah, that's what I love about it.
But now that I have an agent, look out, because I'm not exactly sure where this is going to end up. So
that's kind of scary. Just one thing, Pat. Whatever size hat you get for him in 2 months, increase the size because he's going to need it.
I am a very modest guy. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a modest guy.
Rob, I've known you pretty much all my life, and I can say differently.
See this red button here? I'm hitting the red button for Steve, and I don't know what that does to his microphone, but it turns him off.
Yeah, stop playing with my microphone.
No, I'm a pretty modest guy. That's why I don't call it the Rob Simcox Show, okay?
No, actually, Pat, I was the one that told him that would be egotistical and don't do it.
Okay, taking the 20 back. But very cool.
Yeah. Oh, you did pay me that. Yeah, well, I told you it would cost you $100 to keep quiet.
Yeah. Of course.
No, actually, Rob is a very modest guy. And you know, that's mainly because he's really got a lot of passion for his show, and he's put it in, you know,
Yeah, and his shows.
Yes, yeah, he does a very good job. I'm amazed by the interviews that he's had. I am seriously amazed who he has talked to. You know, besides like Linda Moulton Howe and who is the physicist? I always forget his name.
Stanton Friedman.
Yes, Stanton Friedman. Did he happen to tell you how he actually got the interview with Stanton Friedman?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was amazing. Matter of fact, I'll let Rob tell it.
No, you go ahead.
No, it happened to you, dude. Tell him how
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what do you mean you don't know what you're talking about? How do you walk into a show where Stanton Friedman is on?
Okay.
Okay, and you're basically a part of the audience. You're not a part of the stage or anything like that. Stanton Friedman's giving a show and talking about things, you know, in the paranormal and all that. And Rob got introduced to him. How do you go from being introduced to somebody that is like that, has been on national TV, but on the air, very well known, and then the next thing you know, the guy is giving you a private interview over pizza? You know? I'm amazed by that.
He was very cool. I mean, if I wrote a book, I would probably call Pizza with Stanton.
Exactly.
It was just amazing, Stanton.
Well, I tell you, Steve, I was telling Linda Moulton Howe, I think it was last week,
uh-huh.
I was looking for a certain person's email address, who I won't name.
Okay.
That all of you know. But anyway, and of course she had it. And
cool.
I said, Linda, I said, you must have a Rolodex that nations would go to war over. I mean,
so true.
Get their hands on that. And I put Rob as a close, I don't know how close Rob is, but Rob is second perhaps only to her.
Oh,
as
my
far
God.
As Rolodex. And I've come to understand that just by listening to the show and then listening to Rob privately explain, you know, how he got to know or talk to these people that he has on over the years, and it's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It impresses me. I mean, that's how I knew how passionate he was about his show, because, you know, I came in, I guess it was shortly after you got started, maybe 6 months in, 3 months in, something like that. I don't know what it was, a year?
It was probably about eight months to 10 months in, or it was before a year.
Yeah, okay, before a year, but close to a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you know, from the time that I came in and, you know, we were kind of, and I made his life purely. What are you trying to?
No, you're fine. It's just that sometimes you're a wild card,
yeah.
And, like, I can't do a show around you. I cannot.
Yeah, one time you wanted to kick me out.
Hit the panic button and said, you've got to leave the studio. I can't finish the show.
He kicked me out. Do you believe that, Pat? We've been friends for years, and he just kicked me out.
Oh, it was horrible. Oh, he was just, so wired up and so tired at the same time.
That's unfortunately sometimes that's what happens to me. I get really wired because I've been working so much that I end up really just, I'm too out of it to really function.
Steve, I get the impression, just listening to you, that you're some kind of party animal, you know what I mean?
You could kind of say that. I do like to let my hair down. And sometimes the bad thing is that, it's a good thing, I think, most of the time, but the bad thing is I really don't care what anybody thinks, so that tends to make me a little wilder.
That's not, when you say that, that portrays the idea that you don't care what people think. I don't think, you don't let other people intimidate you into thinking certain ways. I think that's
right.
You'll listen to anybody talk about it, about anything. But
yeah, I listen to everybody's opinion, and I respect everybody's opinion. But in the long run, you know, I have my own opinions, and yeah, I will not be intimidated by anybody's opinion over me. I will still stick to what I think.
And within reason.
Now, that's the attitude that won the West in two world wars about this country. I like that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's a good point, though. You're making a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another category I don't do is I never judge anybody either. I like to get to know people, and I don't prejudge based on anything. I like to know who you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Wow, thanks.
Got it going on. But very cool.
Believe more people that way.
Yeah, same here, I do. It'd be a better place.
It would be. I mean, a much, much better place, so.
Yeah, now behind closed doors, of course, Rob on the other hand.
Hey, now.
Yeah, Rob is not quite as nice as he seems.
Oh,
now, I say that?
Oh, that's total.
$100, Rob.
Hold on a second. I'll turn this off and punch you.
Nah, Rob is the guy that you hear on the air. Rob is that same guy in real life. He definitely is. That's why him and I click so well.
Now, I've kind of blocked Pat out. And it's almost 8 o'clock already.
Wow, yeah.
Well, 8 o'clock our time, 7 o'clock his time. So it's been cool. It's been great.
Yeah, I've already missed Darren Dito on the local news.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'll let you go, and I'll give you a call after the show. How's that?
That'd be great.
Yeah, okay, Pat. And Pat, it was great talking to you and meeting you for the first time.
Hey, Steve, same here. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Look forward to meeting you in person sometime.
Will do.
Take care. Right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
What we're going to do is we're going to take a break real quick, and when we come back, we're going to have Bob Gardner from local MUFON up talking to us about what's going on in MUFON. So stay tuned. We will be back right after these messages.
Mary Bond of the Dawn. He claimed he had